Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Estacio's conference call to discuss the third quarter of 2013 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the Internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.estacioparticipasoes.com.br/IR, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing *0. Please note this call is being recorded. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Rogerio Melzi, CEO. Please, Mr. Rogerio, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call to discuss the results of the third quarter of 2013. Virgilio Dibon, our CFO, is here with me today, and will be helping me with the presentation. Just to remind you that we are going to have a question and answer session just as soon as the presentation is over. I hope it does happen this time because it failed in the Portuguese call, so let's make it right this time. So let's go straight to slide number 2 of our presentation, which is also available on our website. Well, in line with our performance in recent years, we once again recorded impressive results with gradual and sustainable EBITDA growth and a healthy and smooth margin gain. For us, the sequence of positive results is a direct consequence of the maturity that our management system has achieved, and is also a clear sign of the potential we have to grow in a sustainable way in the coming years. Our excellent performance was chiefly due to another highly successful intake cycle, as we reaped the benefits of all the changes implemented in the last few years. For the seventh consecutive year, enrollment reached record levels with 85,000 new students, 25% up on 2012. Our average on-campus and distance learning ticket increased once again, reflecting the health of our business model and laying the ground for significant net revenue growth of 25.3% over third quarter 12 to 438.2 million reais. In this context, confirming once again the scalability and efficiency of our business model, our results increased substantially over 2012. EBITDA total 100.9 million reais, 51.3% up on third quarter 2012, with an EBITDA margin of 23%, up by 3.9 percentage points. Net income came to 86.3 million reais, almost 117% more than last year, with earnings per share of 29 cents, an increase of 81.3% year over year, despite our recent issuance of new shares. Our accumulated operational cash flow is positive in 123.7 million reais, 25 million reais higher than in the same period of last year, reflecting the continuous improvement in cash generation and creating a promising scenario for this indicator also in the coming years. I will now hand over to Virgilio, who will go into the details of our results. Please, Virgilio.
Thanks, Melzi. Good morning, everyone. To begin, I would like to call your attention to slide 3, which deals with our operating performance. The first chart we show the student base at the close of the third quarter 2013, when we had 340,000 students, 19.7% more than in 2012. In same shop terms, growth came to 17%. It's also worth noting the acquisition of ASESC in Florianópolis, Santa Catarina, announced in June, whose approximately 900 students will be added in our student base in the coming quarters. Our on-campus student base totaled 265.4 thousand students, already including the 7.6 thousand students acquired in the last 12 months. In same shop terms, growth came to 14.8%, reinforcing the sustainable organic student base growth trend following seven consecutive record high intake cycles. Our distance learning base grew by 26.5% over the second quarter to 67.4 thousand students. From this quarter, we adjusted our disclosure of on-campus and distance learning taking, excluding students not enrolled in class. This adjustment facilitates the understanding of the base that generates revenue and ticket for the remainder of the semester. As you can see on the graph at the side, net operating revenue increased by 25.3% over the third quarter, reaching 438.2 million reais, thanks to the expansion of the student base and the increase in the average ticket. In the third quarter 2013, the average on-campus ticket grew by 6%, in line with the inflation registered in the period. Our capacity to increase prices in a sustainable manner at a similar pace to last year's is a proof that students have a higher perception of quality and are attributing more value to our product. The average distance learning ticket recorded an increase of 2.5%, occasionally below inflation, partially due to intake campaigns which are more concentrated in odd quarters, but mainly due to the launch of EAD Mais, a new product which dilutes the course curriculum in the value in two more semesters. It's worth emphasizing that 6% gain in on-campus ticket would have been even higher without the reduction effect of FIES-FGEDUC revenue, that today represents approximately 70% of our FIES student base. Remember that we adopt this new FIES accounting criterion as of fourth quarter 2012. Moving on to the slide 4, here you can see a vertical analysis of our operating costs and expenses. Our cash expense recorded a significant efficiency gain of 3.5 percentage points over last year, thanks to gains in the following lines. 1.6 percentage points in personnel, thanks to another quarter of efficient gains from the management of faculty costs and the maturation of the academic model. 2. 1.6 percentage points in the INSS line due to the retroactive benefit on INSS paid on the one-third additional vacations expenses, totaling 5.2 million reais. And 3. 0.6 percentage points on the third-party services, confirming the scale gains in this line. Selling expenses represented 9.3% of net revenue, generating a margin gain of 0.4 percentage points due to the 0.6 percentage points increase in the PDA net revenue ratio, demonstrating the organic improvement in our PDA over third quarter 2012. General and administrative expenses represented 13.3% of net revenue in the third quarter 2013 and recorded 1.0 percentage point year-on-year margin gain, chiefly due to 0.8 percentage point growth in the personal line. As a result, this line recorded an efficiency gain despite the continuation of the impacts we saw in second quarter 2013, increase in the headcount due to investments in new areas, the redistribution of bonus provisions in 2013, and wage increase due to union agreement. Moving on to slide 5, here we present our accounts receivable. Our average net student receivables period was 77 days in the third quarter, two days less than in the last year same period, and five more than third quarter 2012. Excluding FIES net revenue and receivables, the average receivables period was 80 days, five less than in the second quarter 2013. As you can see on the slide 6, our FIES accounts receivable increased by 22.9 million reais over second quarter 2013. Due to the increase in the number of students using the financing and especially the concentration of our contract amendments process in the opening months of the second semester. In fact, we had 135.3 million reais in FIES transfers in this third quarter, 60.6 million reais up on the first quarter 2013 due to the increase in the student base. The average FIES receivables increased once again by 5 days in the third quarter over second quarter 2013, since the concentration of contract amendments process in all the quarter tends to increase the average number of FIES receivables days. It's worth noting that at the end of semester, we still had about 7,000 students contracting FIES that, by failing to pay their tuition when they decide to hire the financing, end up impacting our days of receivables. TS carry forward credits remain in line in the with second quarter 2013 as a result of repurchase auctions and tax payments that have been occurring normally. On slide 7, we have the aging of our receivables. Our third quarter receivables portfolio remain healthy, thanks to the continuation of our strict debt renegotiation policies. In the third quarter, only 10% of total receivables came from renegotiation with students. In addition, the percentage of receivables from renegotiation overdue more than 60 days accounted for 29% of total agreements, or only 3% of total accounts receivable. Our criteria remain rigid, clear, and objective, exemplified by the fact that we provision 100% of our receivables overdue by more than 180 days, complemented by the FIES provisions. Slide 8 shows our cash flow in the third quarter. We recorded a negative working capital variation of 7.3 million reais, mainly due to the 9.1 million reais increase in our accounts receivable and 10.6 million reais in taxes and contributions, mainly to the recoverable labor tax, which was partially offset by the improvement of 7.7 million on suppliers and 5.6 million reais in salaries and social charges, while CapEx, excluding acquisitions, totaled 32.6 million reais. These variations, plus EBITDA of 100.9 million reais, generate positive operational cash flow of 61 million reais, maintaining the good cash generation level of this year. I will now hand you back to Melzi for his conclusions and final remarks. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Virgilio. On slide number 10, I'd like to begin my conclusion by emphasizing how proud we are of achieving EBITDA of more than 100 million reais for the first time ever in our history. It may appear to be symbolic, but when we compare it with the results we found 5 years ago when we began this new phase of Estácio, and especially when we consider that we've not had any major acquisitions over this time, we really feel proud and confident about it. We realize that this financial success is largely due to our ability to attract new students, marked by our 7th successive all-time record intake. And once again, let me reinforce that we have been growing our intakes by more than 20% year over year, very much in an organic way, which is truly remarkable. Moreover, we are starting seeing some improvement in our ability to retain students, now with some great help from FIES. We are also fully aware, however, that behind our successful growth of the student base lies a series of non-financial outstanding results, which have had a decisive impact on our students' choices. One of these drivers is the result of the ENADE exam and subsequently the preliminary course grades, CPCs, and general course indexes, IGCs. This is the reason we are very pleased, although not fully satisfied, with the good results in the last ENADE cycle, which is the most relevant in terms of student participation. We had 28,000 students taking the exam, representing 214 course campus combinations, and 61% received satisfactory grades, 11 percentage points more than the last time. We are confident that this input will be reinforced by the other variables that are considered to calculate the CPCs and IGCs, and in this context, we believe we will achieve a highly positive result for these items. We are also continuing to implement projects that are extremely important for Estácio's future. We recently concluded the implementation of our quality system, a set of tools that allows us to monitor, almost in real time, our students' level of satisfaction with our services. We also have other major initiatives, such as the hospitality, the branding, the innovation, and the relationship with alumni projects, which will help us ensure the health of our student base over time. In addition to the robust organic growth in recent cycles, this quarter we announced Estácio's largest ever acquisition with the formalization of the commitment to purchase UNICEF, with headquarters and a beautiful campus in Ribeirão Preto in the state of São Paulo. UNICEF has over 37,000 students and 14 on-campus grad programs, 13 distance learning undergrad programs, in addition to graduate, extension, and non-degree programs. As we mentioned in the last conference call, when concluded, this transaction will substantially expand Estácio's penetration in the distance learning segment adding 164 new units and marking its definitive entry into São Paulo State. Estácio has also strengthened its presence in the on-campus post-secondary segment by adding a highly regarded university with a general course index rating of 4, headquartered in Ribeirão Preto. We also keep strongly investing on building the new businesses suggested by our strategic plan last year. For example, in September, we launched some new programs in the graduate segment called Nova Plus, New Grad Programs, including a partnership with Harvard Business Publishing, through which Harvard's case studies will become part of Estácio's graduate course syllabus. Our students will receive the cases in Portuguese electronically and then discuss them in class. Throughout the 18 months program, students should have contact with at least 72 different Harvard cases in the various MBA disciplines. Estácio's Nova Plus program also offers individual coaching for students, aiming to develop their skills and to work on the weak points in their personal and professional lives, so they can have a more promising career. We've also entered into a strategic partnership with Grupo Forte to offer our graduate courses through an extremely extensive distribution network. With highly effective management and a focus on results, Grupo Forte will offer more than 100 Estácio brand graduate courses in the domestic market, complementing our current portfolio. Not only will the partnership expand our supply capacity and distribution channels, but it will also enable us to expand our national presence and therefore to create greater opportunities for expanding the number of students enrolled in our grad programs. Still in November, we are launching our new short-term, non-degree programs. With this in mind, we created a new brand, Você Aprende Mais, You Learn More. We will offer over 60 courses, initially via distance learning, where classes will be recorded and the content made available to students so they can decide when and how they would like to study. These courses will be certified by Estácio and will make maximum usage of the content generated by our undergrad and grad programs. In addition, our corporate solutions area is beginning to put together a portfolio of highly attractive and promising clients, demonstrating that we can build an extremely important business on this front, dealing directly with top-tier companies in Brazil. We will keep you informed on the progress of this portfolio in the coming quarters. Finally, we have a team that is evaluating our participation in the next round of Pronatec bids, defining which courses and locations are most appropriate for Estácio and, especially, reflecting on the best means of delivering a product with the same level of quality as the other courses in our portfolio without causing any problems or interfering with our core operations. To sum up, here at Estácio, we are now reaping the fruits of the seeds we planted some years ago, and at the same time, we are planting new seeds in preparation for fresh harvests in the years ahead. That brings us to the end of our presentation, so now let's go straight to the question and answer session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star 2. We will now pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from J.C. Santos with BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. My first question would be regarding the integration process of UNICEB. I understand that you guys are still waiting for the approval from the antitrust authority, so if you could give us an update on this time frame as well, but also if so far, in terms of delving a little bit deeper on the operations, if you kind of already identified, you know, opportunities, further opportunities to be extracted from this deal. This would be my first question. And the second question would be regarding CAPEX. After, as you said, 7 record admission processes, you've been adding a lot of students, and I believe that throughout the next years, I was just wondering if you have any kind of spare capacity type of issue. So you do have expansion projects. Just wondering if this number would need to be expanded as well. And also on the CAPEX, I'm sorry, that would make like 3 questions, but also on the CAPEX, I would like to understand a little bit better the tablet project. If you could give us an update if this is going to be expanded. We've seen the CapEx number came from 2 million reais per quarter to 7 million this quarter. Is this going to be expanded to other, you know, other units, other courses? And how has been the, you know, the feedback so far in terms of, you know, the usage of the product and so on and so forth? Thank you.
Okay, JC, thank you. You have the right to make three questions since the one in Portuguese didn't work, right? So,
exactly.
We tried. It was not our fault. You know, as for UNICEF, you're right. There's not a lot we can talk about because we are still waiting for, you know, the antitrust, the CADES process. As far as we know, everything is going, you know, fine. They're asking information. We are giving all the possible information we can in the most, you know, the best possible way, in the quickest way as well. But I know we have to wait. There's not a lot we can talk. In this meantime, obviously, we are studying. We are thinking about what we will be able to do, always respecting the limits, you know, they imposed to us, because you don't want to run any kind of risk at this point in time. What I can tell you without, you know, going into details, because we can give you any kind of details, but I mean, what I can tell you is that we feel very, very good about UNICEF's acquisitions. The more we understand about that, the more we see the opportunities they have, you know, the better we feel about the move we just made. It will have a lot to do with our ability to increase revenues there. I think the name of the game there will be attracting students and obviously keeping expanding their operations, not only by opening new programs, but also by trying to open new learning centers. And I think, as I told you, from what we've seen so far, I think this is going to work pretty fine, given our capacity and the skills we have in Estácio right now. So bottom line is that we feel very good about that. And I'm sorry, can, you know, open a lot about this process. You know how this works. As soon as we are able to release more information, we're going to come up with a full plan and a lot of details for you, so you'll be able to understand why we feel so good about this move. As for CapEx, this question about how much spare capacity we have, it varies a lot depending on the regions. What I can tell you is that in the Northeast we are, you know, really getting full, especially in the night shift. So we are just about to make some investments there in other buildings in some particular cities. The same thing is happening in some campuses in Rio de Janeiro, so we are investing a little bit as well here in Rio to make sure we can receive all the students we are going to get now. And we are also getting back on track in São Paulo, which is great news for us. I mean, we have already started our process for 2014. São Paulo is giving wonderful signs of recovery, which makes us really enthusiastic about that. But having said that, I wouldn't expect any kind of major, you know, variance in terms of percentage of net revenues we're investing in CapEx expansion. It may vary a little bit, but if it does vary, we are going to compensate, you know, that change with lowering our maintenance CapEx. That's the way it works here. You know, those figures, something between 5 and 7%, they are very likely to last for the years to come here at Estácio, which makes us really, you know, confident about our capacity to generate cash flow because, as, you know, EBITDA grows, we think we should be able to add a lot of cash to our bank account. As for the tablets, what we are doing until now, we are keeping the strategy we adopted in the beginning, only a handful of programs, the most representative program for us, because we wanted to learn how to operate such a, you know, big network. There is a lot of logistic challenges here, as you probably wonder. So as we learn more about that, as we feel more confident, there is a chance we're going to increase this operation for 2014. However, we are just about to have a meeting to discuss what we are going to do next year. So at this point in time, I don't have this information for you. What I can tell is that even if we are going to increase, which I think will happen, we are going to increase the number of programs that we are offering tablets, we just launched in the second semester a new technology known as Bring Your Own Device. This is something that is really, you know, modern in terms of education, the education segment. And this allows our students to use their own devices to download every piece of information of, you know, the games, the APPs we're developing, so as to avoid us giving them our own tablets. And this is being tested now. I think, as far as I know, It's been working, you know, fine so far. So this could potentially offset the kind of investments we would eventually have to make in our tablets program if we actually increase next year. So bottom line for CapEx is that we don't expect any kind of major events in terms of percentage of our net revenues for 2014. Okay?
All right, Nora. Thank you very much for the answers.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Felipe Cruz of Itaú BBA. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have two questions. My first question is related to the potential for margin expansion. Do you believe there is additional space to improve profitability from growing the average size of classrooms from your current levels, providing further personnel cost dilution? And if you see other drivers or initiatives that should contribute to the maintenance of the current pace of margin expansion going forward. As for the second question, you mentioned that 7,000 students were still in the process of contracting FIES in the third quarter. From these students, do you have how many of them already managed to contract the program and regularize their status in the fourth quarter?
Okay, Felix, thanks for the question. For the first question, the margin expansion, the answer is yes. We are expecting more opportunities for class dilution for the next few years. Just for an idea, we have now 34 students per class as average after this intake in the second semester. And just in 2009, this number was around 26 students per class. We truly believe that we can reach something around 40 students per class in the next couple of years without changing our good practice of managing classes and reducing teaching costs for the next 1 to 2 years. So we still have an opportunity to increase our efficiency and reduce teaching costs for the next 2 years. And another lever is the online class. Today we have less than 15% of the total class in online classrooms. So as the time goes by and we're still maturing our academic model for the next 3 semesters at least, we can go close to 20% of the participation of online discipline in total classes that we have in Estácio. So we can keep in online class 65 students per class, so also is a very strong opportunity to dilute costs as the online class increase of the participation in our portfolio of classrooms. And for the second question, about the 7,000 students that was in the middle of the process to contract the first semester in the FIES, we already closed for 4,000 of these students, but we still have more students coming, so this account keeps on the same level. With 7,000 students, we convert 4,000, but still have something around 7,000 to 8,000 students coming. Remember that we have till December to convert the students for the FIES contract in this semester, okay?
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Ruben Couto of Brazil Plural. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for my question. Could you provide more color on the directorship changes that are underway in Status Academic Office that you just announced, and how this is related to the is relating actually to the development of that academic model 2.0, and this happening due to the UNICEF acquisition? Just wanted to get more clear view on this matter. Thank you.
Hi, Ruben. You know, this change we announced yesterday has nothing to do with UNICEF or distance learning strategy or whatever. It's just a personal decision by our academic officer, Mrs. Paula Calefi. She made a decision regarding, you know, her personal life. It has a lot to do with her plans to, you know, come back to what she herself called an academic track. That's, you know, her goal for her coming years. That doesn't change a lot here because, you know, everything in Estácio at this point in time is so well defined. The teams are so, I would say, mature at this point in time that we should be able to deal with these kind of situations. And these situations will always arise. It doesn't matter, you know, how well you feel about your company. People still will have, you know, their lives and will make their decisions. But I think our company is in a point right now
that absolutely makes me, you know, confident that this kind of change will have any kind of, won't have any kind of impact in our strategy. As for UNICEF, obviously, when the time comes, you know, for our integration, we will make some adjustments here in order to be able to properly integrate this asset. And when this time comes, we will let you know.
Okay, thank you. And if I may, could you comment a little bit on how you see the Ministry of Education reacting to all this noise surrounding Brazil's fiscal deterioration? I mean, your relationship with the Ministry of Education, do you believe there is any change that the government is looking at the sector with all that growing noise that we have been hearing over the past month? Could you comment a little bit on that and how you're seeing these issues? Thank you.
Yeah, as far as I know, and yes, you're right, I talk to them, you know, very often, and there are no issues whatsoever in their, on their table. You know, that's my perception, obviously. I cannot talk on their behalf. This thing about the ProUni, for example, I can tell you that the Ministry of Education didn't know about that. This was a decision by, you know, the Brazilian IRS, and obviously it's a wrong decision. And we are going, obviously, to, you know, defend our interests all together. We are actually getting organized as a sector to be able to fight for our rights, and I think we have a very good right in that direction, in this case particularly. When I talk to the Ministry of Education, and not about ProUni, you know, but about the public policies as a whole, they still seem very confident, and they seem to believe a lot in what they are doing. I think these programs, not only the ProUni, but many of the FIES, I think they have become huge flagships for this government. I consider that we will have presidential elections at the end of next year. I think the chance that they are going to change anything, especially in this point in time, is really, you know, small. But again, this is my perception. So never, you know, question me about this perception in the future, because that information could be released only by them.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question comes from Bruno Giardino from Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone. First question comes to your expectations for student intake growth next year. Would you expect such good numbers for student admission next year? And would you change at this point your expectations for this, I would say, 7%, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but 7% increase year over year of your on-campus organic base? That would be my first question.
Bruno, the 7% year over year, this is something for the medium term. When we talk about medium term projection at the start, we usually use this figure between 5 and 7% of organic growth, that for the student base. As for the intake for 2014, the truth is that every, you know, semester, we kind of get ourselves questioning, you know, for how long it's going to be possible for us to keep growing 20%, you know, plus year over year. And the thing is that it has been happening for 7 semesters now, and we are obviously happy, you know, with that. We do not release, you know, this kind of information for any specific year, as you probably know, but what I can tell you is that we have already started our process for 2014, and, you know, cannot tell you how far we are, maybe 15 or 20% of our way. And the numbers are impressive. They are still very strong. They are still, you know, coming in a very, I would say, encouraging way. And obviously, if we can keep this kind of pace, I think there's going to be a wonderful surprise for everyone next year. But I think the momentum we are living here is so good, and, you know, things are so in place that Virgilio has a calculation here. He says that even if we just repeat the same numbers, the same intake, the same number of new students in 2014, our student base should grow at least by 9%, meaning that this 7% may work in the medium to long term. And this is how we like to think of our future here, right? But for 2014, we may be, you know, just ahead of another outstanding year for Estácio. Time will tell.
Okay, that's great. And then my second question would be on results of ENADE. When we look at the Estácio consolidated figure, it was a quite good improvement, but we still see some problems in São Paulo, and you just comment that you have seen some improvements in operations there. And I just would like to know if you have a special plan for this front and academic area for improvement of an AGI test with your students in São Paulo?
You know, Bruno, São Paulo actually was, in WHO, actually, São Paulo improved a lot. But the problem is that São Paulo in 2009 had a very low score. I think it was around 154 or so. And in order to become a 3, you need 194. But they did very well in the ANADI exam, which is, you know, just 20% of the total score. So we are now waiting for, you know, the remaining of the formula to be calculated. So as you see where they're going to get. Our internal calculations give us a lot of hope that São Paulo will be able to turn a 3 this year. We cannot tell because, as you know, it is a bell curve, right? So it depends a lot on how the others performed. But from our internal perspective here is that São Paulo may turn into a 3 already this year. If it doesn't turn into a 3, what I can tell you is that it is moving in the right direction because it's going to really get really, really close to turning into a 3, which implies that whatever is happening there is bringing us to the right direction. And I think this is true almost everywhere in ESTA. So if you look at the numbers, you know, program by program, city by city, you can see evolution in almost all of them. And this is what really, what we really liked about this last ENADE round, is this evolution. I mean, forget a little bit about, you know, the absolute numbers, the scores we took, and check what happened back in 2009. If you compare, we're talking about, you know, a 3 year period only. We're talking about some students who are not in the new academic model, but still took this exam last year. And we are talking about a big turnaround in a matter of 3 years in a segment that usually you take at least 4 to 5 years, which is an average time of graduation, an undergrad program in Brazil, you know, to make things better. So we feel really good about that. We're not happy. When I say we're not happy, it's because we really, you know, set the bar really high here in ESTAS. We want to perform and to outperform everyone. We want to be safe about these scores. And we use that as, you know, indicators of how well we are performing in academic terms. So we are happy, but we are not satisfied. We are going to improve a lot over the next years, the next ENADE cycles. I hope you are there to see us doing better.
Excellent. And just a final follow-up. Do you plan to offer Pronatech courses by the next round of offerings, perhaps next year? Or you are just in the phase of studying if it's possible to make it or not?
Compete. You know, it's a bid. You have to compete. I cannot tell you whether you're going to win or not. What I can tell you is that we are going to focus on, you know, cities and programs where we think we can do really well. Instead of trying to do something really comprehensive at the beginning, we like to, you know, start in a, I can tell you, in a very responsible way. If it does work, if you can do this properly, if we can set up a nice team here, then we can expand in the following rounds. But for now, our decision is that we are going to compete.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Bruno. Same for you.
The next question comes from Marcelo Santos of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the question. I wanted to understand a little bit more on the EAB Mais program. What kind of students are you attracting? Is this EAB Mais applied to all the courses? Just a little bit more color on that. And also on the intake campaigns, I mean, you mentioned that on the odd number quarters, you usually have more intake and that generates more discounts over revenues. But when you make a year-over-year comparison, you're comparing odd to odd quarter, you see a little bit more pressure on that front. So just trying to understand if you are spending more or giving more discounts on the intake or any color would help.
Okay. As for the ADMI, this is an idea brought by our marketing folks because the truth is that some students do not want to take, you know, six subjects at once in a given semester, which is the average number of disciplines they are expected to take. So instead of preparing a program to last 2.5 years, which is an average program for what we call technological programs here, we decided to spread this more, you know, over time so as to allow students to take fewer classes, fewer subjects every semester, and therefore lowering the average ticket, which also helps them, you know, to face this financial responsibility that they make when they make a decision to join us. So we believe that the MIS is a solution for students who are not willing to take all those subjects at the same time and who would be willing to wait for longer, you know, to get their diploma, maybe 3 years and a half or so, and who would value this idea of paying less for the same program, but still they can wait for, you know, for a longer time. So that's it. I mean, we're testing this now. If it works fine, we keep. If it doesn't, we give this up later. But it did have an impact this semester. I think there were almost 2,000 students, right, trying this demise.
Yes.
And obviously it explains part of the ticket we got in the distance learning segment. As for the second question.
Okay, Marcelo, for the discounts that we saw in the third quarter, to analyze that, I think we have to compare with the first quarter in 2013. As you saw, we have 26% the intake cycle over last year. As our intake is going up, we have the discount going up over the net revenue. This is it's very normal in SaaS, as we have a very long period for to convert these students that are classified in the exams for the sex semester exam almost to the end of September. We're still confirming the enrollment of these students. So we have to give discounts of one or two tuitions to convert these students in August and September. When you compare, I think the first quarter, the intake cycle went up 19%, and the discounts rate was, I think the figures was around 33%. So the intake was 19% over year over year in the first quarter, and discounts 33% year over year in the same period. And now in the third quarter, we have 26% year over year in the intake. So it's a very strong intake coming in the second semester. We are speeding up this growth comparing year over year. And also the discounts went up 39% because of this discounts in the first and second tuitions in the semester. As the time goes by, the fourth quarter, this comes down because now the student has to pay three tuitions during the fourth quarter. So it's very normal. When we will see the reduction of this of the discounts, when the intake cycle will be lower than the other year. So I really prefer to increase the intake cycle and have the discounts a little bit over in the first and third quarters than see lowering our intake and lower even more the discount rate for the same period. Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep.
The next question comes from Marcelo Gangham of Oceana. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first question is regarding the G&A. I would like to know if the increase in G&A to support new businesses is over, and if you see significant room for G&A dilution in 2014.
Hi, Marcelo. Yes, I think over the next years we'll see more dilution in G&A. It's true, we had a step up this year, not only because of the reason I mentioned. We are preparing Stasso for, covering more ground in the future, entering new businesses, and obviously that requires an upfront investment in people, especially in people, not only in people, but especially in people. And also, remember, we are trying to smooth the provision we build for bonuses at the end of the year, and this also has an impact in our DNA structure. But I think, yes, over the following years, the next years, we are going to see more dilution in G&A, and that's going to be an important source for margin expansion for Stasio.
Okay. And the other question is about Pronatech. I would like to know if you see Pronatech as a huge opportunity for private schools to capture like a huge number of low-income students that try to get in either in a public university or in a private university through ProUni, but are not so successful and those students don't even consider taking the FIES because they are very low income. So Pronatech is like a very good way out for those students.
I think it's sorry to tell, Marcelo. It's a new program. Nobody knows at this point in time, you know, how successful it will be. I think it's a great attempt by our government, you know, trying to offer this option to students who wouldn't, you know, be willing to take to go directly into the university system. But I think we will have to wait some time in order to see the kind of students, you know, who are likely to show up, the kind of gaps they're going to bring that we are going to have to fulfill, you know, by our own means. Also to see how the dropout rates will be in this segment. But I mean, having said that, I think it is a good opportunity. Yes, I wouldn't bet, you know, our entire strategy into something that doesn't depend on us, because it is a public policy, and again, as every single public policy can change, you know, at any time. But I think it's a great opportunity for us, especially to try to, you know, use our idle capacity in morning and afternoon shifts. If we can do that, I think it will be very helpful. And I think there may be another positive, you know, side effect, although it's very early to say that, which is we're going to have maybe 1 year, and then I have to work with these students, trying to convince them to stay with us after they, you know, they're done with their Pronatech programs. Why not taking, you know, or going into a regular university program and then getting a second degree, therefore increasing their chances of having a better professional lives in the future. So I think it is a wonderful opportunity. We're going to try now to see how it works, and also to see whether we can deliver, you know, a good service. If we can, if the thing is good, then we're going to invest more.
Can we understand that you're going to offer that, I mean, at the beginning of next semester, in a limited basis, like in a, just a few thousand slots for the first semester?
Yes, I think so. We are going to define, we're just, you know, working on that right now. We are defining, you know, the cities and also the programs we would like to compete in this next, you know, bid. It won't cover the entire country. It won't cover the entire, you know, all of the programs. It has to match our own capacity. So, you know, that's it. But the chance is that we are going to increase in, I would say, in a more controlled region, where we can see how we are performing and, you know, learn more about these students, about the program, about the cash flow and everything else. And then, as we do with everything in Estácio, we may end up expanding this into other regions if we feel comfortable about that.
So you probably start by the, like, the Rio de Janeiro area and nearby, and not like in distant areas.
You know, there's a good chance.
Okay.
Good view.
Thank you. Okay, now.
I cannot open to you because it is a bidding process, right? So if I tell you where we are going to try, obviously I'm giving a lot of information to people who will eventually compete with us. So that is kind of classified information. But we are going to try at this time. I think that's the most important piece of information for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from Carissa Berman of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the questions. I have two questions, actually. The first one on COGS. I wanted to better understand this payroll benefit, the INSS that you had on a quarter. My understanding is that this is a retroactive one-off positive impact of the 160 basis points in the margin this quarter. Is that correct? And then the second question is on the EBITDA margin guidance for next year. Are you still comfortable with the number given the outperformance, especially this quarter that we have, but in all quarters, in fact? And I mean, is there any chance you're revising it for 2014? Thank you.
Hi, Clarissa. As for your question on the COGS, yes, you know, it is a kind of a one-off. It is retroactive for 5 years. And it goes 5 years back. But if you read, you know, the report carefully, you see that there is another one-off effect that happened last year in the other direction. Happened last year, didn't happen again this year, which was a reversion in our provision for contingency and so forth. So they are kind of equivalent, which implies that the margin growth we are seeing here is actually the margin growth we are getting through our own operational capacity and ability. So that can explain, that doesn't explain the evolution you're seeing in Estácio. And for next year, our official guideline, you know, 2014 is coming. The time to deliver those 20%, right, is also coming. That is what we committed 3 years ago, by 2011, I think. And obviously, we feel very comfortable about delivering that at this point in time. We feel like it is in our hands. And unless there is something really out of control, I think we are going to deliver that, in a very proper way. As for increasing that, we are going to wait this new intake cycle. And when we are done with that, maybe first quarter next year, we may come up with something new, you know, for you. But when the time comes, for now, let's stick to our 2014 commitment and be happy that we are going to get there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Marcelo Gangham of Oceana. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my other question. Could you give us like an objective for like a target for the G&A as a percentage of sales for the next let's say 3 to 4 years? I mean, would it be reasonable to say that you could get to let's say 10% of G&A as a percentage of sales in 3 to 4 years?
Marcel, no, we can't give you the information because we don't, you know, work this way. We don't open this kind of details, especially in a call like that, this one here, which, you know, is usually more, a little bit more strategic. If you want to talk about this, you can talk to Flavia and our people later. They'll be happy to help you with that. What I can tell you is that there will be some dilution in G&A. I am enthusiastic about that because we have all, you know, these expenses very much under control right now. So I would wait for something really good in this particular line for the next years, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Rogério Melzi for his final remarks.
Okay, thank you very much for participating in our call. As we've said in recent quarters, we are, you know, going through a great time here in Estácio in terms of fundamentals, results, and perspectives for the future, always, you know, seeking more, always trying to improve, always trying to prepare Estácio for the years to come. If you have any further questions, let us know. Myself, Virgilio, Flavio, and our team will be here for you. Hope to see you again in the next quarter, and I hope you all have a great day. Bye.
This concludes Estácio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.